swag champ. You know, we dropped the P after game four. Yeah, you know, this is my first champ, JaVale.
What are the characteristics of a swag champ? What should we expect?
That means I'm at the ultimate level. I'm at the top. It's nothing higher than swag champ, and that's me. You know, JaVale could come up with his own name. That's Pierre.
Yeah, two times. You know who it is.
Yeah, two times. All summer 18 is shirtless. You know, yeah. From the bottom to the top. That's where we at, baby. Most hated.
Yeah. NBA Strayer, how you going? That's right, man. It's NBA Strayer. It's Wednesday, June 13. I am your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J Junkie, Red Bull, the Brooklyn Game, a bunch of other places want to pay me money. And I'm here hanging out Larry Armour Studios, New York City, New York, making sure you know who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball. Out there in the NBA offseason today, just while repping Strayer a little bit as well. Just what we do here. Today's show is a bit of a quick check-in to see what's going on in the NBA world. So we're going to talk about the Warriors Championship Parade. Plus, we'll continue our giant Where's LeBron Going At a preview, where we look at all 30 teams, rank the possibility of LeBron ending up there. Today, we've got teams 26 through 23. Nice. We're also going to talk about some coaching changes, Dennis Rodman, a bunch of other stuff. There's also the usual dumbassery of yeah, nah, the unpopular opinion of the day, and of course, Outback Steakhouse. And because it's Wednesday, we have a brand new Andrew Bogut slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter. And it's awesome. All right, man, it's episode 139. It's NBA Strayer. Let's go.
Oi, oi, oi. It's old mate Deli over here. That's right, Manny Deli Vadova. And you're listening to NBA Strayer.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Oh, you better. Maybe you should watch out for the swag attack. Oh, man. So let's talk about into the Golden State Championship Parade in our daily whip around. The way we always start NBA Australia. This championship parade was legit lit, I believe, as you might say. This was awesome. How much fun was it? Like just tracking it along, watching it on NBA TV yesterday. Damn. The Warriors running around smoking stogies, talking shit. It was great. So, smashing through Oakland yesterday, let's rank the top five highlights, shall we, of the Golden State Warriors Championship Parade yesterday there in Oakland. In between, like, puffs on these giant cigars and, like, running off to get Henny, there's a lot to talk about. So, number five of the top five highlights of the Golden State Warriors Championship Parade highlights, Draymond Green revealing he don't fuck with Tristan Thompson and didn't shake his hand after game four. That was pretty neat. Draymond said, he tried to shake my hand. I said, Tristan, we ain't cut the same. And look, I assume that that means that Tristan isn't circumcised or is. It's one of the two. Because Draymond out there, look, they're both champions. Tristan, he's a champ. He beat you, Draymond, because you're out there loaf punching. I don't know what to say. But I guess you're not cut the same when it comes to banging hoes on the side. That's how it goes. And yeah, now I'm just trying to remember whether or not Draymond was circumcised in that dick pic we all saw. Oh, Jesus. Anyway, Bob Myers low-key roasting Kevin Durant and putting the taste of blood in everyone's mouth, because as soon as there are any locker room problems next year, people are going to throw that soundbite right back in their faces where he said Steph earned his contract because he was here from the start, whereas Kevin wasn't. To say that to your two-time finals MVP, even in joking, was pretty fucking funny and pretty roasty. Oh, geez, Bob Myers. Got to have a bit of confidence signing Kevin Durant to that five-year contract to be out there roasting your two-time finals MVP and going, Steph earned his, man. What have you done? That's pretty great. That was number four. So number three, top five highlights of the championship parade was Draymond's t-shirt. Oh, shit. A low-key awesome troll of LeBron James with the Arthur clenched fist with the three rings on it to, basically signify the three Golden State championships. That was amazing. Best part is, that was only number three of the highlights. This was so good, this championship run. Number two, anything to do with Nick Young, aka Swag Champ, as you heard at the very start of this episode. He is saying the 2018 summer, no shirt. I mean, what are the odds that he wears a shirt for like the next 6 months? Like 0%? Will he play the first 2 months of next season with a jersey spray painted on him? I feel like we could see that. And how many STIs do you think that Nick Young's picked up in the last 4 days? Is it all of them? I'm pretty sure it's all of them. So yeah, you got swag gonorrhea now. What up? But anyway, Nick Young is a pure and utter delight. Just watching him up there on the podium in like a fucking bathrobe, getting hugged by the crowd as he's walking around smoking that stogie, drinking, just absolutely lapping it up. Gotta love it. Nick Young, NBA champion, swag champ. That was legit awesome. But it was only number two because number one of the championship parade highlights was the legitimately incredible Jordan Bell running off into the crowd to drink a stranger's Hennessy. That was like legit the coolest thing I've seen post-championship since Deli and his Corona Tinnies in the club, eh? Oh yeah, what do you reckon? Hey, Corona Tinnies, on your Deli! Jordan Bell up there on top of his bus going, man, we've run out of Henny, and then like finding someone in the crowd who had some, getting off his bus, running into the crowd, and then drinking from that stranger's Hennessy bottle. Dude, that is absolutely fucking awesome. I am so, what do you reckon there, Mr. G?
I had an excitement quiver. I get very excited about things, and I do that.
He does that. That's how he does it. That was amazing. Oh, man, you got to feel pretty good for Jordan Bell out there. Just as a rookie, just like, you know what? This is what the NBA is, dude. He's out there crushing it, straight killing it. Nice one. Now, moving on from the championship parade, which gave us so much. The roasting of Kevin Durant by Bob Myers was pretty great. I mean, low-key, very funny, and also a little bit like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, cool. Best of luck. Moving on, Dennis Rodman brokered peace between the USA and North Korea, apparently. I don't know, man. I'm also not entirely still clear as to what he did beyond, like, going on CNN and crying and talking shit about President Obama. I mean, I love the worm, but wearing a MAGA hat on TV and crying on CNN is kind of neck level. I don't know what the fuck was going on. It's like, yeah, I mean, he brokered sort of, you know, the agreement of, hey man, North Korea isn't too bad. They look after the worm. It's like, all right, cool. Best of luck, Dennis Rodman. Thanks, man, I guess. And also in other news, the Raptors have officially hired a new coach. It's Nick Nurse. He was already a part of Dwayne Casey's staff already there in Toronto. So Masai Ujiri, the Toronto Raptors GM there, was pretty clearly down with Nick Nurse as his guy, which is pretty cool. We'll talk about that in a second in Yena. And also the Pistons formally announced Dwayne Casey is their guy too. Former Raptors coach, Dwayne Casey, moving to Detroit. We actually mentioned this on Monday's show and how that was maybe a good idea if he can sort of build some sort of defensive identity out of that weird, horrible Pistons roster. I mean, Stan Van Gundy, for all of his efforts there in Detroit, never really made Detroit much of a defensive fucking juggernaut. But at the same time, we were sort of thinking about Stan being this defensive genius after his years in Miami and Orlando. But at the same time, he had Shaq, he had Dwight. I mean, don't know about Stan. Best of luck there. And finally, Woj is reporting that Kawhi Leonard and Greg Popovich, will sit down sometime soon before the draft to hash out their differences and figure out the details on a potential $218 million extension. Damn. Woj also dropped a couple of Woj bombs in his article saying that Boston tried to trade for Kawhi back in February and San Antonio were like, yeah, nah, we're good. Didn't even counter offer. They're just like, get the fuck out of here. Come on, man, it's Kawhi. And then also the big Woj bomb was that few in Pop's orbit expect him to coach the Spurs beyond the 2020 Summer Olympics when he leads the U.S. to the silver medal against Australia. Isn't that right? Let's go, Big Sumo! I mean, it's all pretty interesting. You kind of get it as well, don't you? You kind of get to sit there and go, man, the dude just lost his wife. That sucks. Poor dude. And Kawhi's out there bitching and moaning and going to different trainers and not coming back and hanging out in Dodgers games instead of going to watch the Spurs play in the playoffs. You can sort of see where Pop just goes, fuck it. I mean, we just lost to Australia. Tokyo 2020, just saying.
But anyway, the idea that Woj reporting, and this is a legit report, that he's out there saying that people don't really expect him to go beyond 2020 is it's pretty big news, I guess. Same time, he's pretty old, the old pop. And, you know, having just lost his wife, it's just, I don't know. Maybe that's enough. He's been the coach since, what, 96? He's already 69 years old. Nice. I don't know, man. I don't know. Well, Woj reporting it. Sure. See how we go. All right, we'll be back in a second with some Yeah Nahs right after. Let's say these words.
G'day, this is Thon McCurr, and you're listening to NBA Straya.
All right, we're back. It's Yeah Nah, where we take three NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. And number one, look, there's a lot of other news floating around in the NBA about extensions and contracts and stuff, so let's get into that. Number one, does Draymond Green deserve a Supermax contract? Yeah, nah. Yeah, from the Golden State Warriors. Nah, from anyone else, I reckon. So if Draymond doesn't sign an extension, this summer, so he's eligible for a 3-year, $72 million extension on his current contract. That'd start in 2020. But if he doesn't sign an extension, he can, in like 2 years, basically go, all right, man, I want a Supermax contract. What are we going to do, man? So if he gets voted MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, or makes one of the three All-NBA teams next season, he would be eligible for a Supermax of 5 years and $226 million. Which means that if you're Golden State, you'd be paying $40 million a year for a 34-year-old Draymond, or, you know, whoever else wants to sort of give him that money. And look, I don't know about you, but like, unless I'm Golden State and I'm owned by a couple of fucking tech billionaires who are a bunch of like weird little jerks who are apparently light years ahead of everybody, don't forget that. I feel like he works in their system, but take Draymond out of that system. How good do you really think he is, like playing next to Dame Lillard and CJ McCollum or on the Charlotte Hornets or something like that? Like, do you really think he's worth $40 million a year at that point? Probably not, right? But if you're Golden State, you're like, ah, fuck it. Let's just pay the money because you really ought to. It's what you got to do. I feel like for Golden State, they just need to keep this core together. I just can't see another team going, yeah, let's pay Draymond like $200 million. What do you reckon? And someone going, that's a pretty good idea. If it's like next to someone like Anthony Davis, maybe. Maybe next to someone like LeBron, maybe. But there's not too many sort of things, like, especially when he's like apparently not being able to shoot anymore, which is bananas. Yeah, I just feel weird about the whole Draymond situation a bit and how good he really is, especially once he gets past 30. I mean, the dude just plays himself into the ground year after year after year, and that's awesome while you've got him in his prime. But when he's 32, yeah, I don't know about that so much. Speaking of extensions, is all the noise about Kyrie not signing an extension with Boston dumb? Yeah, nah, yes. Of course it's dumb, because Kyrie can sign a max of a 4-year, $101 million extension with the Celtics, which is pretty crazy, and you're fine. But at the same time, if Kyrie just waits until next summer to sign a new deal, the Celtics can give him $188 million over 5 years. So an extra year and an extra $87 million, yeah, I think Kyrie not signing an extension seems like the smarter idea. Just fucking saying. So all the noise about it is very dumb. But at the same time, we're going to talk about something, don't we? The crazy part is, even if Kyrie just went, all right, thanks Boston, but I'm gonna go somewhere else, other teams could still offer him 4 years and $139 million. So Kyrie just waits out, plays this year, and then away we go. He gets paid regardless. He signed the extension this year. That's dumb. So why would he? Don't do it. All right. Number three, Nick Nurse, new Toronto Raptors coach. Good hire. Yeah. Nah. Yeah, sure. I mean, does he look like Dilbert though? Kind of. Yeah, nah, yes, fuck oath he does. Go have a look. Nick Nurse, Dilbert. I love it. Even though the creator of, what's his name, of Dilbert there is a bit of a weirdo dweeb, but still, good on you, Nick Nurse. That's awesome. I'm proud of you, I guess. Sure. But that's great. He was also a lot of the voice behind the changes in Toronto's offensive approach this year. So, I mean, obviously the guy understands that three is more than two. Beyond that, I guess it's good that he got Toronto to buy into it, and that DeMar DeRozan there was like, oh yeah, maybe I should shoot threes. But then again, they didn't keep DeMar shooting threes all year, which is the DeMar fucking problem there in Toronto. Weird. All right, other fun, yeah, nah stuff. We've got a whole bunch of these because we're just going to keep going because we're just going to hit on every like off-season topic with the yeah, nahs. That's what we're going to do. Let's do it. Can we trust Gary Payton when he says that LeBron James Jr. is going to high school in California at Sierra Canyon and this might lead to LeBron James signing in LA? Can we trust Gary Payton? Yeah, nah. Yeah, I mean, I always trust Gary Payton, but that's because I've literally got a signed Gary Payton Sports Illustrated on the wall literally right next to me right now. But at the same time, I don't know, man. He said that Bronny had committed to Sierra Canyon and Sierra Canyon were like, huh? What? Oh, okay. And how good is that basketball team, though? They just won the state title last year. They've got Derek Fisher's nephew, Scottie Pippen's son, Kenya Martin's son, and the number one shooting guard in the country on that team. Damn, Sierra Canyon. I mean, if you want LeBron Jr. to go anywhere, it's probably there, right? Just saying. Let's go, Lakers. Let's go, Clippers. Moving on. Is Spencer Dinwiddie right? Will Jarrett Allen be a top five center in the NBA soon? Yeah, nah. Shit, maybe. I don't know. If he can learn to shoot, definitely. He was throwing up 16 and 12s against like Philly in the second half of this season. I think he's going to be awesome. He's also got the best fucking hair in the NBA at the moment. But Spencer Dinwiddie out there. Just talking about, you know, Jarrett Allen and just going, you know what? I like my man. He's pretty good. It's pretty funny and pretty great. Because he's all like basically talking about getting LeBron to the Nets. And LeBron clearly not going to the Nets. And Spencer Dinwiddie going, oh, it's all right, man. But we've got Big J, top of five center in the league. Just be patient. You're like, well, maybe. Jarrett Allen is awesome. Giant rim running center, defensive menace here and there. He's really athletic. God damn, I love me some Jarrett Allen. I should go buy one of those tops. And then finally in the yeah nahs, was Monte Ellis misunderstood? That's right, Monte Ellis. Yeah, nah, yeah. I mean, this was a great story that came out from Jeremy Lin about how he only had one pair of jeans when he made the Warriors. And Monte was like, what? One pair of jeans? Ah, you little dipshit. He bought him 20 pairs of $200 jeans, and Jeremy Lin is like, that dude is awesome. So I don't know, is he misunderstood? I'd also be like, hey man, the dude who bought me 20 pairs of $200 jeans is fucking great. Like, that's awesome. I also just love Monte Ellis though. Like, until injury slowed him down, including that like stupid moped accident he had, dude lived at the rim and was like a really just good scoring guard. And I feel like if injuries hadn't slowed him down, he'd be like this perfect, just off the bench spark plug at this point of his career. But nope, no good. And like, I love watching him. I remember being at the end of a US trip before we actually lived here in New York. And I went to a game in Oakland between the Warriors and Jazz in Steph Curry's rookie year. So this was April 2010. And I got to see Steph and Monte side by side, obviously, before they traded Monte for the big fella, Andy Bogut, who you're going to hear from later, and Andrew Bogut slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter. But Monte was awesome. And it was really weird to sort of see Monte and Steph on the same court because it pretty clearly didn't work. So anyway, I'm at the end of this trip and I'm like, fuck it. I've got like a day spare. How about I fly up to Oakland, stay somewhere, go to a Warriors Jazz game, and then fly back and then like bounce back to Australia. And that's exactly what I did. I snagged myself a seat like late last minute, basically courtside, because it was the last night of my entire trip. I hadn't spent as much money as I expected as well. So I'm like, ah, fuck it, I'll splurge. So what? I went and I watched Monte. He shot 4 of 22 and lose to fucking Deron goddamn Williams and old painted noggin himself, Carlos Boozer. And but it was awesome because I got to see Mimo O'Kerr, Wes Matthews in his kind of like, you know, second round undrafted sort of pomp is out there crushing it in Utah. Got to see Kyle Korver when he was on the goddamn Jazz. Anyway, so Monte, he goes 4 of 22, 0 of 6 from 3. He had 6 assists and 6 turnovers, which was just hilarious. And like Steph was out there looking pretty damn good. But every time he like landed hard, you're like, oh, his ankles are going to snap. And then obviously like the next year they did. Pretty weird. Steph shot 5 of 15, but he was like the leading scorer. But it was incredible. So yeah, I love Monte Ellis, man. Just a bit of a throwback. He could have been a superstar in the 90s as well, I reckon, with that game. That perfect kind of like scoring guard dude who would have smashed it in the 90s. All right, anyway, moving on from Yeah Nahs, let's get to Look at Me, the unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please. Look at me, look at me, look at me.
Hennessy? Is it that good? I mean, sure, it's fine. But at the same time, it's not my sort of cognac-y kind of choice. I've got some other ones out there that I like. Hey, man, give me a good Armagnac. I love, I just don't mind a bit of cognac, but Hennessy, it's just weird. Weird, I'll just tell you that much. Anyway, whatever. Just saying. shit. What do you reckon? What are the other types of cognacs? I don't know. Cavassier? Yeah, that's all right. Still. Anyway, Hennessy. Just don't know if it's that good. But anyway, there you go, Hennessy. I'm not sure if it's that good. I don't know if that's unpopular, but hey, just give me like a nice, really top shelf scotch. What do you reckon? What am I going to say though? I'm a ginger. Get to deal with it. Anyway, let's move into Outback Takehouse. It's Wednesday at Outback. That means double blooming onions and double oil drum can Fosters. 2-for-1 special. Only at Outback. And today's flame grilled take is Dan Gilbert should sell the Cavs to LeBron before LeBron leaves and get his money's worth, because he's going to be sitting there watching about $1 billion drop off his asking price if the King bounces. LeBron owns the Cavs. That's what should happen this summer. Only at Outback. Oh man, I like that. Dan Gilbert should just sell it to LeBron right now. That makes sense, doesn't it? You're going to lose $1 billion when he goes. So Dan, I don't know, man. I don't know. There you go. All right, that's our back takeout for today. All right, right after this, we're going to have our Where LeBron End Up A, which is, you know, kind of fitting anyway. Right after, let's say this word.
Hi there. This is Joe Ingles, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Alright, we are back, and we are back with Where's LeBron End Up A, where we're ranking all 30 teams in order of where we think LeBron ends up, and we are at number 26. So on Monday's show, we had Sacramento at 30, Memphis at 29, Detroit at 28, and then Charlotte at 27. So today we have 26, 25, 24, and 23, and at number 26... what do you reckon? Oh, it's the Orlando Magic. Number 26 of where LeBron might end up. And look, I'm also surprised they're this relatively high, right? But LeBron to Orlando, I mean, it's never going to happen. But at the same time, Orlando is like one of those sneaky ace cities where you can have a giant fucking house on like a golf course with like no state income tax and all that good stuff. They've always managed to snag like free agents like Horace Grant, Grant Hill, T-Mac, and... All right, maybe not too many more since then, but at the same time, like, and everyone bounces, like, when they get a chance, like Shaq, Dwight, whatever. But still, Aaron, Air Gordon, Jonathan Isaac, I mean, yeah, maybe Mario Hezonja. What do you reckon there, Super Mario? Feel it. But I mean, a lot of this might have to do, maybe his kids really like Disney World. Maybe they like Flow Rider. Maybe they really like Universal Studios and Harry Potter World. Like, golf is really big, I guess. Yeah, Orlando sucks. It's tough, man. It's very tough. How about, though, number 25? Could you see LeBron in Dallas? That's right. The Dallas Mavericks are number 25. That's really low, isn't it? But at the same time, isn't this kind of like because of the horrible state of this roster? I mean, Mark Cuban's awesome, and everyone's like, oh, maybe LeBron could go and learn from, like, Magic Johnson. So he could also learn from Mark Cuban, I guess, about how to sell your tech company really early on and make billions. Dirk is still there. I don't know, man. Dallas just, it seems like it's very low on the totem pole. Even if they draft, like, Mo Bamba or something at number 5, they'd have Mo Bamba, Dennis Smith Jr., and then what, like, Harrison Barnes? Wes Matthews? Oi, not quite feeling it, man. So not going to happen. They don't have just, like, that ideal sort of setup where you're like, oh, there's like 4 or 5 just really solid dudes floating around. It's more like there's maybe 2, 3. So Dallas, not going to happen. Also, they beat him in 2011. Do you really think that LeBron's going to go, oh yeah, Dallas is now my jam. So not going to happen. Number 24, the Atlanta Hawks. Oh, Jesus. I am the German Rondo. I'm Dennis Schröder. LeBron shall want to play with me. Of course, that's just how it goes. How about John Collins? Yeah, maybe not. Not feeling that either. The number three pick this year, though, so maybe they add Jaren Jackson, but Jesus Christ, this is definitely not going to happen. Unless LeBron really loves Atlanta, Donald Glover, strip clubs, and Migos. What do you reckon? I don't know. Number 23, and where LeBron could go at, now we're talking. The Indiana Pacers? What? Ooh, think about this for a bit more of a second, though. Victor Oladipo, the Souvlaki King, Domantas Sabonis, Miles Turner. Seriously, if you added LeBron to this team, that'd be pretty fucking good straight away. Nate McMillan, they've got Larry Bird over there just like helping out on the odd occasion when needed. Would this team be the top three in the East, right? Easy. Like, they'd be right back up there with Toronto and Philly instantly. If LeBron went to Indy, they've got a fuck ton of cap space as well, so it's even slightly feasible, maybe. So maybe LeBron on Indiana. Put aside all those differences after the years upon years of battling them while he was in Miami and in Cleveland, obviously. But still, I mean, what do you reckon there, Stephen A. Smith?
Cleveland!
That's right, Cleveland. I don't know, man, though. Oh, that'd be pretty good. Pretty good, but it's a very small market. And even though Victor Oladipo was very good, he also needs the ball in his hand to do a lot of the stuff he does. So I don't know. There you go, though. So there you go. 26 Orlando, 25 Dallas, 24 Atlanta, 23 Indiana. What do you feel about that? Magic, Mavs, Hawks, and Pacers added in the bottom eight of our, yo, where LeBron going to end up at teams? Yeah, what do you think? Let us know. Let us know if we're on the right track or not. All right, how about the Australian Player Watch? Ben Simmons still hanging out in China, getting photos with fans, checking out some love hearts, all that fun stuff in China. On your big Simo! Thon McCur working out at P3, doing blood flow restriction circuits. That means trap bar deadlifts, high rep prowlers, goblet squats, and adduction holds. He's out there crushing it. Jingles out there drinking coffee back in Melbourne. Wants a running partner, apparently. Paddy Mills on the beach still. Nothing from Bangers, nothing from Dante, nothing from Delhi. Delhi's assumedly hanging out in Melbourne as well. Mango Mathiang is out there trolling Ben Simmons and wearing a Not My Rookie of the Year t-shirt in support of his college teammate Donovan fucking Mitchell too. Pretty crazy. And we should have reports back from the Mavs minicamp with Mitch Creek, Kyle Adnam, Magic Deng, Shea Lee, and Isaac Humphries very soon too. So that should be pretty fun. And in the meantime, what do you reckon about the Joe Ingles inspiration board? Pretty fun watching Joe and Andrew Boga going back and forth with coffee emojis a lot of the time. So Andrew Boga, as you'll find out, tweeted, you'll find out later, Andrew Boga tweeted out about his young fella. Joe Ingles responded with coffee, ? Pretty good. And he also tweeted out, any runners in Melbourne, a great friend is opening an awesome running studio. Sign up for a free trial this Saturday and hang out with me. Oh, if I was in Melbourne, I'd do that in a goddamn second, Jingler. You know it. So that's pretty inspiring. Just watching Joe Ingles run is pretty inspiring because it kind of shows that anybody can do it because it's not entirely pretty. All right, but finally, what do you think we have? It's a Wednesday. That means finally we hit what you've all come here for, assumably. It's the Mark Brodkey Memorial Sweaty White Guy of the Week. That's right. It's Wednesday. We honor the Mark Brodkey, sweaty, hairy behemoth that he was hanging out. And this week we have Frank Prakowski. That's right, it's the second big Sonic white guy in 2 weeks after we covered that giant spud Jim McIlvaine last week. And this is all because we wrote about Luke Longley on NBAAustralia.com yesterday in the 96 finals. Now, Frank played against Luke Longley, see, in the 96 finals for the Seattle Supersonics. Amazing stuff, but was also quite horrible. But not always horrible. He's actually a useful NBA player, even if he was a bit of a spud. He averaged over 16 points a game twice, once with the pre-Admiral Spurs, and then 6 years later again with the pre-Big Dog Bucks. The problem was for a big that dude that big, he definitely put up some Shawn Bradley-esque, speaking of the sweaty white guys, rebounding numbers. The most he ever averaged for a season was 6.9. Nice. Rebounds. And that was in that 87-88 Spurs year where he also averaged over 16 points a game. For a dude who played power forward and center for his entire career, to never average more than 7 rebounds a game is absolutely brutal. But Brick was also in the 96 Sonics in his second last year in the league. Bit of a spud. Got outplayed by our man Luke Longley in the finals. Ended up with career averages of 10 points, 4.7 rebounds, and 0.4 blocks a game. And he was a big, sweaty, white guy. So, welcome to the Mark Bradke Memorial Sweaty White Guy Hall of Fame, Frank Brickowski. Ah, that's nice, isn't it? And you know what? That's it for today. Oh, NBA Australia in the bag for Wednesday, June 13. We're back Friday with more ridiculous. We'll have more ridiculousness. We'll have our very special guest, PDX Pete, in there to talk about some draft stuff. We'll have a bit more of draft preview coverage because don't forget, we're going to be at the draft next Thursday. NBA Australia at the draft. It's going to be rad. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter at NBA Australia, like us on Facebook, Instagram. Check out NBAAustralia.com. We've got NBA Australia Never Forgets going up. It's pretty great. Don't forget to subscribe to NBA Australia on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever else you get all your podcasts. Check us a nice 5-star rating and review while you're at it, would you? It really helps out. Tell a mate as well. We're going to be doing this all the way through the off-season. Oh, geez. Staring down that barrel, I'll tell you that much. Thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out House Hats, though, their new band. They're the best band in Australia. You heard I've Been Broken, their new single. There in the third segment, it is an absolute bloody perler. I even got to see a sneak peek of the video, which is amazing. So you'll see more of that. We're going to be sharing that on the Facebook soon as well when it goes up. Extra special thanks to legends of Green Green Green, Iowa, Fascinator, Dozers, Sex Jedi, and the Ramshackle Army for the tunes you heard throughout the episode. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands, and if you're in a band or mates are in a band, hit me up. I'll play it. And that's it, man. So stick around for a brand new Andrew Bogut slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter, and we'll catch yous on Friday, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, Lederhosen! All right, welcome to this week's show. I'm Andrew Bogut, and this is Andrew Bogut slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter. Because remember, with all this blue-haired, leather jacket wearing, latte drinking, snowflake, SJW feminists out there distorting the world with all their virtue signaling and being all sensitive to everything, someone needs to tell like it is, mate, and like real truths and everything. So that's what I'm doing. I speak the truth, and if you don't like my opinions, you can go get stuffed, eh? And now I'm back in Australia and some of the NBL. I've got plenty of time to talk to you idiots on Twitter about footy, East-West link, drug injecting rooms, betting on sports, and even the NBA sometimes. So let's get stuck in. Okay, number one, it's Matthew Butcher. He says, hey, mate, got a two-part question for you. Number one, why don't NBA teams have team suits instead of casual wear? Suit will look more professional. Number two, LeBron and other players storming off the court after losing a game and not shaking hands, etc., seen as bad sportsmanship, question mark? That's a pretty good question there, Matthew Butcher. I will tweet out my response. Number one, players like to wear what they feel good in, brackets, or what their fashion advisor tells them is in, smack my face emoji, and number two, shake hands at the end of the series, not after each game, thumbs up emoji. Nice one. Oh, this guy, AP, he's responded. He says, why your view on not shaking hands after each game? Each match is a battle and respect should be shown and acknowledged after each contest, I believe. Why your thoughts on this, Bogey? Well, first of all, AP, you seem to struggle, Paulie Anderson, with some of the English. Why your thoughts on this? That's weird, mate. Stop being a dickhead, mate. Okay. It's standard in NBA, and I like it. 7-game series, do it at the end. Those games get chippy. You don't need scuffles post-game in the middle of a series. It's just simple, mate. Okay, oh, this one's great. So Chrissy Teigen, that chick that like is married to John Legend, she tweeted out during the hockey, like, oh, I've run some numbers, and if you just lay on your side and lift up your legs on the odd occasion, you stop like 99% of the goals, eh? Now, Ryan Miller, the actual hockey goalie, he responded saying, I ran some numbers, and if you lay on your side in an exotic location, you look hot. The rest is up to the photographer. Oh, I'm going to retweet that. Crying emoji, crying emoji, crying emoji. Oh, look at this. Mark Cuban responded, my old mate from Dallas, from when I was there for just that little while. He says, don't get any ideas, Andrew. Just say no. I'm going to respond to that one. If I consider it, Send me your Botox contact. Nice one there, Bogey. That's some pretty funny stuff. Oh, have you seen this one as well? There's a big talk about inclusion and diversity at Google. So if you need any more evidence of Google making this a priority, may I direct your attention to the salad emoji? They've removed the egg in Android P Beta 2, making this a vegan inclusive salad. Oh my God. SJW feminists with all their, oh my God. Smack my head emoji, exasperated face emoji. I'm going to retweet those ones. Okay, that's unbelievable. Oh, and how's this? 3W Football, they ask, what are we going to do about this club? And it's like a picture of Gold Coast, the Suns. I'll respond and say, Hazzy. There we go. That's good. That's pretty good. On Titus O'Reilly, he's pretty funny. He says, let's move the Suns to Tasmania. Tasmania responds, but we want an AFL team. Oh. I can retweet that one with a crying emoji, a monkey face emoji, you see no laugh. Oh, that's funny. It's pretty good, mate. Pretty good. And then Tamika Oldham, she responds and say, what the actual fuck? We want our own AFL team down here. We are not that desperate to have the Suns crying emoji. Get us an NBL team while you're at it. Oh, smiley face. Oh, but that's actually not a bad idea. I'm going to tweet that out. I would love to see an NBL team in Tassie. Played there in 2006 with our Boomers. Great crowd. Yeah, cracking NBL. Lure home Chris Goulding 43, mate. That's pretty good. Pretty good, mate. I like it. Oh, mate. So, how good is this? Clown story of the week. Can you believe this? I better tweet this one out, too. Clown world story of the week. At Twitter CEO Jack forced to apologize for eating some Chick-fil-A. Oh, my God. Clown emoji, clown emoji, clown emoji. Crying emoji, crying emoji, crying emoji. Oh, my God. Stop being so sensitive, you SJWs. Oh my God. So 3W Football, they tweeted out, I think we're all too cozy about like journalists not being independent observers. I think I like this idea. This goes for sports, politics, business reporting, whatever. Unfortunately, human nature shows and so do agendas. Just saying, mate. Just saying. Oh, mate. How about that NBA finals though? I love that NBA. That was pretty good. So I better tweet out my props to LeBron. LeBron deserves a lot of credit for getting that score to the finals alone. But Golden State Warriors, too good and too deep. Much deserved. Can anyone beat them in 2018-19? Scary thing is, they will also retool in the offseason. I'll tell you that much. I'll tell you right there. Oh, and having the baby. Oh, mate, I'll tell you this much. Better tweet about him, too. Young fellas daily, 5:30 a.m. Alarm is tough. Oh, exasperated face. It's pretty tough, mate. Pretty tough. Okay, and you know what I like to do, because I'm Andrew Bogut. I like throwing the cat amongst the pigeons, mate. Better tweet this one out and get everybody tweeting me and like Reddit and everybody just going crazy, mate. Have the popcorn ready for this off-season's NBA free agency dramas, mate. Don't be fooled. Most big deals are already done verbally. More super teams are cometh. Oh, nice one, Bogey. That'll get him talking. Okay, that's all for this week. I've been Andrew Bogut. This has been Andrew Bogut slams a bunch of Twitter snowflakes from Twitter. I'll talk to you next week on NBA Australia.